And this morning, I really feel like Chantel shared about those weapons that God is giving to us. I feel like I'm going to give you four weapons this morning to make your rest in December far more profitable and fruitful for you. Now, that sounds completely whack, right? How can rest make us more profitable, produce more, do more? I'm hoping to help you with that. I'm hoping to give you guys a couple of tools to help you, in a sense. The subject of my preach this morning is rest, R-E-S-T. But I want to encourage us this morning that I feel like the reason for our rest and the rest we're going to discuss this morning is not, we're not going to rest from 2025. We're going to rest for 2026. We are resting in advance. We are resting for the things that God wants to do with us. Because as nice as it is now, and it feels great, for some of you, the 4th of January or the 5th of January or the 6th of January, when you put your head forward to that, there's angst and anxiety because there's a certain thing that's going to happen as you go, your year is going to start again. And then you're jumping back on the hamster wheel and we're going to spin. And many of us, if I'm honest, get to the 1st of January and we just kind of arrive. Hi. And we hope it's going to be okay. We hope the year's going to be all right. We hope that it's going to be a better year than last year. And I want to ask Mornay, if you can just come up here very quickly. He's going to take 2 minutes. And Mornay is just going to explain to us, what does he do? He just ran a marathon with Haya. These two are crazy. I don't know why anybody would run that far when you have a car, but they decided to do that. 42.2 kilometers they ran for fun. Nobody paid them. It cost them money. I don't understand it, but they did it. But he didn't just arrive at the starting line and hope for the best. So I'm hoping to use this as a quick analogy for us as we prepare, or unless you did.
So I can't lie now because Harry is sitting with me. So we had the exact same week. So obviously we do some gymming and stuff with a CrossFit. So we said Monday, so marathon was Saturday. So Monday we said, last day of CrossFit, just because we can't go into the race with like sore bodies and stuff. So then Monday was the last day of CrossFit. Tuesday, we did like a short, like I think it was just like a shakeout run. So like a 3 or 4 kilometer. Kevin is a lot better at those days. And then Wednesday, take it easy. Thursday, another little run. But the most important thing probably of preparing in that week was your nutrition, what you ate. And I didn't do it great this race, but you try and keep it low in terms of like proteins and stuff way before the race. So Thursday night, I probably ate a 3/4 packet of pasta all by myself. My wife had a little bit. And then Friday, you would normally, you try to do less fats, like no proteins and stuff like that. So rice, chicken, all of that. But it's all about that week. It's all about preparing for Saturday. Nutrition, not too much on the body, so that actually Saturday you are fresh and ready to run. Awesome. And stretching.
So we see, in preparation for the race, you actually have a lot of stuff to do. But within that time, they took rest. They pulled back. They didn't just arrive at the starting line in their business shoes, in the wrong outfits, having had no nutrition, no carbs, no fuel in them, and just think, okay, well, I'm probably going to crack a great time. If you don't prepare in advance for what's to come, you actually are disadvantaging yourself. And I'm hoping this morning that what we're going to work through together is going to be a preparation for you. We're going to take care of some business in 2025, and then we're going to get ready to do some incredible things in 2026. Are you ready to go on this journey with me? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the word rest, R-E-S-T, and I'm going to break it down for you. And the first part of this that I really feel that the success or failure of this preach comes down entirely to what you do when you walk out the door today. Please don't come to me. Please, you don't have to come to me and say, Sean, that was a great preach. It will mean absolutely nothing to me if you don't do what I'm asking you to do. And what I'm asking you to do is for you, not me, because I'm going to do this. And I know that when I hit 2026, 1st of January, I'm going to be ready to slay lions and giants and bears, bring them all. But I'm going to do the work. Amen? So the first thing I want us to do is R, I believe the Lord said, R is for reflect. Look back. Take stock of what the Lord has done in your life in 2025. If we have a look at some scripture to support that, this is what it says in Psalms 77, verse 11 to 12. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. What has God done in your life this year? What miracles, what breakthroughs? When has he protected you from that accident? Or even if you've had the accident, he protected you from losing a limb or dying. What has he done? What are the things? Has he protected you? Has he provided for you? When last have you thanked him for your salvation? The fact that when your day comes, you need have no fear of death. There is no fear of death for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to be with my Jesus. And all the trouble and the things that I have to run through on the earth are done. I have no fear of what's to come because I know who holds my future. I thank him for that. Have you thanked him? Maybe this year you've gone through some deliverance. Maybe the Lord has set you free of things that have been holding you back for years and years and years of your life. And suddenly freedom has come to your house. And you're having victory over addictions and habits and ways of thinking. And your mind has been renewed through Christ Jesus. These are things to look back on, reflect on, remember, and then take note of them. In essence, what I'm asking you to do is to build an altar to the Lord. When the Israelites crossed over the Jordan, they were instructed to build an altar. Do you know what happens when you build that altar? It wasn't just for them. It was actually for generations to come. That they would arrive at these stones and say, this is odd. Why are there these random stones here? And the older amongst them would say, let me tell you about what the Lord has done. It was altar to the Lord. Can I ask you, during this time, won't you take a morning of your quiet time? Take out your diary, take out a notepad, take out your iPad, whatever it may be, and note down the things that the Lord has done. If you can't remember, ask the people around you. My memory is not great. I'm good with faces, I'm terrible with names, so I'm probably going to greet 100 of you guys 100 times, and I'll forget your names, but I know who you are and I love you. But my wife is great with it, so sometimes I'll go and say, hey man, let's just think together. What did you do in my life this year, Lord? What were some of the things that you saw God do in me? Because our wives see, and she can say, you know what, Sean, you learned how to wash dishes. Well done. This is incredible. Celebrate the small things as we look back on the year, because a grateful heart gives us joy. It gives us vision. It gives us the ability to move forward. Is that okay? So we're going to do that. We're going to reflect positively. The second thing, which is E, if you could put that up for us, is I want to remind us that E is for enter. You see, what happens when we go and leave? For some of us, we take a bit of a break from church, and that's perfectly okay. We take a little bit of downtime. We sleep late. We have days in the pool, and we do all these things that are fun. But somehow I've noticed, even in myself, I know you guys wouldn't do this, but me, it's almost like sometimes when I go on leave, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to take a little break from my quiet time, and I'm not going to worship as much, and I'm not in church, so I'm not getting fed there, and I'm just going to kind of cruise along. And I'll take a break with you, because I know you're always with me, and you'll never leave me and never forsake me, but I'll see you in 2026. I'm on leave now, so, you know, you and me never between will meet. I want to encourage you to say that we don't go and leave from God. It's impossible to go and leave from God because he's in us. He goes where we go. So I want to encourage you through this time. Would you enter into his presence regularly? In Hebrews 4, verse 1 to 3, it encourages us. It says, let us, therefore, while we have the promise of entering his rest still stands. So God's saying, I have a promise for you. There is rest that I have apportioned to you. It says, let us fear lest any of you who failed to reach it, that's not us. The good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Why? Because they don't know Christ. They're not in Jesus. But because they were not united with faith in those who listened, 3 and 4, for we who have believed, that is you and I, enter that rest. As he said, I swore in my oath, they did not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the earth. We have been given a promise that rest is apportioned for you, Linky. It is. It's good news, right? There is a rest that we get from fear and from anxiety and from all of the wages of sin because we are saved into Jesus. But there is also a rest that we get to enter because we are His. But we remember that and we go to Him to remind ourselves of that rest. I have been on holiday and come back more tired than I went in. If you think that your rest will come from doing your favorite hobby, from not being in the office, from not having to answer that email, from being away from your terrible Saul of a boss, I want to say to you, those problems will remain and they will still be there. And you will be looking forward to January with dread in your heart. But there is a rest that you can find as you enter His presence. The other day I found myself I went to CrossFit with the boys and afterwards, I was absolutely exhausted. My head was spinning. I was tired. And I actually found myself just looking and saying to the Lord, Lord, thank you that at 47, almost 48 years old, I still have full use of my body. I can lift heavy things. I'm running faster than I've ever run. I'm going longer than I'm lifting heavier than I ever have. And I found myself being so thankful. I met with Jesus in the gym. Over your holiday period, maybe you're not going to meet with Him in the synagogue. But maybe you can meet with them in the swimming pool as you're throwing your boys around and they're laughing and joking and you're having fun and going, Lord, thank you that you've given me a family. I'm so thankful to you. In between the Boney M and the Mariah Carey and all the rest of it, put a worship song on and enter His presence. Encounter Him in your kitchen as you're making the gammon. Encounter Him in the kitchen as you're finishing the potatoes. Drop some off at my house. We can encounter, we can enter into His presence. It doesn't matter if we're not in church, now we can't meet Him. It doesn't matter where we are. Let's meet God. Let's enter into His presence this holiday time so that when we come back, we don't feel like I've taken a 1 month break from the Lord and suddenly, all of a sudden, I don't really know where you are anymore. You see, the Israelites moved by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But if they didn't move, the cloud didn't stop. The pillar didn't stop. It got up and moved, and it's like everybody's going, okay, guys. Every father would go to his family and say, okay, we need to round up the chickens. Let's start to pack up all the stuff. The cloud's moving. We need to go. The cloud is moving. God is wanting to do things in your life over this time. And if our ears are shut to Him, if we're not entering into His presence on a regular basis, the cloud is going to move, and suddenly you're going to come back in January and go, I don't know. I haven't heard God's voice for a while. It's not because He's not speaking. You're just not listening. Stick with it. Don't take a break from the Lord. Enter into His presence. This is one which I really felt is a very specific tool for us as a people. For those of you who are visiting us from other congregations, possibly for you as well. But as I've sat and reflected a little bit over us as a congregation, over the battles we fought, the Goliaths that we have encountered this year, you know, I often say to people, you must understand that if you get into a boxing ring and you start a boxing match, you're not the only one that throws punches. Has anybody taken any punches this year? Everyone that raised your hands, you guys are honest. The rest of you guys are just liars because we're all taking punches. We stand for God. We are hated. There's a person out there. The person of Satan hates us. So when we get into these battles, we are inevitably going to pick up some scars. There's going to be some stuff that's going to happen in our lives. So, I believe if we can do this, each and every one of us, if you just listen to one point, take this point, is that we need to sanctify ourselves from 2025 so that we can go into 2026 clean. So what does that mean? Let's have a look in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the beginning of the Lord Jesus, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say to you, I'm going to give you a quick little analogy. Do you know that there was an 89% decrease in the amount of deaths associated with infection between World War I and World War II? What do you mean? Some of you go, what? What does that even mean? What that means is that soldiers in World War I would get injured, But it wasn't a life-threatening injury. It was a scrape, or it was a scratch, or it was something that had broken their skin that wasn't life-threatening. But because they didn't deal with it, and there wasn't sufficient medicine to treat it, they died from the wounds. To the point of 89% more died in the First World War than the second, because there was medicine to treat it in the second. It is like that with us. What wounds are you carrying today? What little nicks and scrapes and little things have happened to you during this year that you haven't yet medicated? You haven't cleaned it, you haven't dressed it, you haven't medicated it. And if we carry those into 2026, there's a high likelihood that actually some of those things could kill us. I want to encourage you this morning that as we come into 2026, take a day, take a week, take a couple of weeks to go and do a little personal spiritual health check. Please do this. I believe that healing and deliverance will come to your home through this. And have a little work through your months. Lord, where's the enemy hurt me? Because remember, our battle is not flesh and blood. So the person that you're angry with, actually don't be angry with them. Be angry with the devil. Be angry with the enemy. He's the one that we fight, not the person. But let's just say, for some small reason, Rian has hurt me. And I go into December thinking, when I hear his name, I'm not going, bless you. Something in my heart is hard and is actually not thinking good of him. We need to stop. We need to process. We need to go, okay, what is it that's caused that in me? What wound am I carrying? And then allow the God of peace to come and tend to that wound. So there's a practical way that we can do this, and I want to encourage you to do this. Go through your year. Think about the people in this church. If you think about someone in this church and there's a negative connotation, there's a negative emotion in your heart, perhaps you just need to pause and dress a wound. And ask yourself, Lord, would you reveal to me what has been done that has caused me to feel a certain way about that person? Write their name down. Write down what you feel they've done. Because I just want to say to you, not every time you've been hurt, it's because you have actually been hurt. Because sometimes if you've had a bad father, and that bad father abused his authority over your life, all through your life, and when you came to him for support, he actually gave you a clap. You will judge all father figures through that until you deal with that wound. So there's going to be some times where I am simply just trying to guide you. I'm trying to lead you as a father in the house, and that's going to bring up an emotion of what your dad did. And suddenly you're angry with me, but it's got nothing to do with me. So I just want to say, not everything that you're going to experience by somebody is because it's them. Offense is taken, not given. But that being said, there are times when we are going to drop it. I would love to say to you as a leader, I have made no mistakes. I have made many mistakes this year. And I don't try to. It's not my intention. I really don't want to. Believe me, it keeps me awake at night. I cry about it. I don't want to hurt one of God's precious souls, but I do. But by the same token, you have the ability to release me and to release your brother and to release your sister and to release that person in your community that grinds you every single week. Treat that wound. Don't just leave it. It's going to go septic and it's going to affect others. It might even affect you and your life. Treat those things. Write it down, and then you know what? Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, would you shine your light of truth on this thing? Would you help me? When Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, what does he say? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. If you want forgiveness for your sin, then the word actually says, not my word, it's Jesus. It's in your Bible too, that I must forgive as I am forgiven. Is this okay? Deal with these things. If there's been traumas that have happened to you this year, perhaps you've lost a job, you've lost a child, there's been something really major that's happened in your life that's brought trauma to you. You can't just cover over it and hope that it's going to get better. You need to face that demon. You need to deal with that issue so that you can be set free, so that you can be sanctified. When we went on sabbatical last year, we had a lot of things we needed to process. And there's a lovely couple in Joshin, and they taught us this principle. And they said, Sean, you know what? Your spirit is like a fish factory. And every single day there's a ton of fish that gets deposited. If you don't process that fish, next day you have 2 tons of fish to process. The next day you have 3 tons of fish to process. The problem is that the rotten fish is now buried. And it starts to corrupt all of the other fish. We need to process our trauma. We need to process our emotion with others so that we can get freedom, so that we can get clear, so that we can get clean. How would it feel? For those of you here today and you feel like, sure, I actually don't feel lacquer towards someone. Sean, as you're speaking, I can see a face in my mind. I don't feel lacquer about that person. The thought of seeing them in church, the thought of seeing them in my workplace, it's a colleague, it's a friend. Maybe you're going to visit family members over this time and you've got estranged family and it's uncomfortable. And you know that when I spend time with that person, it's always trouble. How would it feel to be free? What do you think that would feel like? Do you know that freedom is offered? You can be sanctified by the God of peace, but you need to face it. You need to take responsibility for it. It's not a hidden thing. If I have a knife stuck in my leg, at some point I've got to acknowledge the fact that, hey, there is a foreign object in my body that will cause me long-term harm if I don't deal with it. None of you would leave a knife in you. You'd go and seek medical help. I feel like the Lord says to us, please, will you sanctify yourself? The picture I saw is like us actually taking a Holy Spirit shower of 2025 and just letting the pain and the trauma and the anxiety and the stress and the pressure and the hate and the unforgiveness wash. And let it just go down the drain and then leave it in 2025. I want to say to you, my friends, you don't have to carry that with you. You don't have to take it to the next year. Deal with it. Let's be done with it. Amen? And then finally, how are we doing for time here? We are doing great. The final one I want to say to you is T in rest. R-E-S-T is for testify. 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 In Revelation 12 verse 11, it says this, and they have conquered him, Satan, the enemy of our soul, the one who hates you and wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. He is the father of lies. He is the fallen one. He is the enemy of our souls. We can conquer him. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. As we share our testimony of R-E-S, as we share our testimony, as we've reflected on our year, and I've gone back and I've seen the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God demonstrated to me in 2025, as I've entered His presence and allowed His Spirit to fill me, to empower me, to embolden me, to give me boldness and courageous, as I've dealt with the sanctification of the things that have held me back, now I can testify. Mornay, do you know what the Lord has done in my life this year? Can I just tell you 3 things that the Lord has done? It's been incredible. Without the Lord, I would never have been able to do this. 1, 2, 3. Can I tell you, as I was spending time with the Lord, as I entered His presence, Jenny, I just wanted to say, the Lord gave me this message. I want to share this with you. I want to encourage you. I want to love on you. I want to show you the goodness of God. I'm testifying. As I sanctify myself and let go of the pain caused to me by Marius, I can go to him and say, Marius, I want to say to you, I want to restart our fellowship. I want to bring you in and I want to embrace you as a brother because the Lord has sanctified me. I am free. I held this thing against you and that's my problem. And I know it wasn't your heart and I believe that you didn't want to do it, but actually I am free of it. And I want to tell you about how the Lord has set me free. We're testifying. We're defeating the enemy. Do you see it? It's beautiful. It's glorious. Do you know how many opportunities you will get over this time to testify to people? More than ever in any time of the year, you're going to have people coming into your lives. You're going to have people at your dinner tables, at your lunch tables, sharing Christmas with you. Perhaps you're going to a restaurant and you're going to go and sit down with a bunch of strangers and enjoy lunch. Do you know that there's going to be a waiter that's going to come to you? Do you know what I always think about over this time? I've worked in a bar as a barman over a December period. It's a horrible, horrible time to work. It really is. Because people don't just take leave from their work, they take leave from their manners. Has anybody worked in hospitality? You know what I'm saying. There's no please, there's no thank yous. In fact, the more money they have, often the more rude they are. I'm just generalizing, please don't say anybody. But the fact is, you're going to have an opportunity this December, whether it's at the KFC drive-thru or whether you're sitting at pajamas and jam having a scone and some coffee. There's going to be somebody that's working, that's not with their family, that's going to come into your orbit, and you have a moment to just take a little time to share something with them. Hey, I can see today you're looking a little bit tired. Has it been a busy time? I did that at the Hungry Lion the other day. This lady served me. She had a snotty attitude. Something righteous in me went, don't you treat me like it. I'm paying your salary, girl. But I'm not driven by the flesh. I'm driven by the Spirit of God. And as I saw her, compassion riled up in me. And it was just over Black Friday. And I said to her, ma'am, you look so tired. Are you okay? And she said, I've been working from 7 to 9 for the last 3 days. 7 in the morning till 9 at night. She's like, I'm supposed to have had off. I don't have anything off. I said, so can I just tell you something? Thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you for feeding me and my family. I want to say to you, I see what you do. You're serving us. You're away from your family. You're putting your life down for us to give us a simple meal. Thank you very much. And you know what? Her whole demeanor changed. And I watched her as I was waiting in the line. And you know what happened? The rest of the people that came in had a smiling face. Is it a testimony that I share about Jesus? No, but I loved her. And I saw her, and I met her where she was, and it changed her in Jesus. This is what testify is. That doesn't mean you need to carry a soapbox around with you and preach turn or burn. Jesus loved people into the kingdom. It's the goodness and the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Where you go this year, for the rest of it, I want to encourage you. Could we become a one-man revival? That where Fredine goes this holiday, there's revival. What is revival? It's a greater understanding and awareness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's revival. We think it's people dancing like funky chickens or doing all these weird things under the Spirit, and that can be a symptom of it. But revival is when I walk around with a heightened understanding and awareness of the Lord Jesus in my life. And when I'm in Him, then I think of the guys in Acts. My boy Peter. My boy Peter. We're going to be boys in heaven. Do you know that? You're going to get to sit next to the greats that we read about in the Bible. Isn't that exciting? Does no one else get excited about it? Sheepers, I'm going to be like a little boy meeting a springbok rugby. I'm like, David, Hebrew, what shape was the stone that you hit Goliath with? We're going to do these things, man. And Peter comes to a man who's lame. And the man who's lame looks at him for something. And he goes, can you give me some wealth? I need to buy some food. He has no expectation beyond, could you give me $2, please? Your car guard that comes and says, thank you, there's $2, she's always, more. I see her so often, I can't give her stuff every time, but I always greet her and say, hey, hello, how are you? But she has no expectation of me. That man had no expectation of Peter. And Peter looks at him and he goes, hey, bro, I'm so sorry. Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. He testified by his actions. He stopped and loved the person that thought, if I can get $2 from this guy, I've scored. And he walked away carrying his mat. That's powerful stuff, eh? Whose life could you change over December? Is it a family member? Is it somebody that's visiting from afar? Is it your wife? Is it your child? Fathers, I want to say to you, can I show you what the enemy of your rest will be over December? Can I show you what the enemy of intimacy with your family will be over December? It's this device right here. Put your phone away. Wives are all going hallelujah. They just don't want to say it out front, but that's okay, girls. I got you. The girls are going hallelujah. Chantal has often said to me, Sean, you're in the room, but you're not present. Because my phone, I was talking to Lynn before the time. I said, you know, the one thing I'm looking forward to when I go and leave now is to take my phone and put it in the cupboard so that I don't have to have this. How many have this itch? It's like every 30 seconds, you've got to pick that phone up. It's like the world is going to cease to spin if we don't look at our phone every 30 seconds. I'm telling you right now, if I looked at my wife every 30 seconds, she'd probably be a lot happier. But I didn't look at you. Yes, Moy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're being present. Testify to your wife. Do you know your wife wants to hear your testimony, gents? Your wife, our wives' love tanks fill up when we walk out of the secret place and say, Chantel, do you know what the Lord just told me on my quiet time? Is there any wife here that doesn't like that? Is it not very attractive to see your husband in the quiet place? Seeking the Lord for your family, seeking the Lord for your finances, for your kids, trying to take you on a journey as the leader in the home. It's attractive, man. Wives, I love it. Chantel is the most disciplined person. I'll tell you where you'll find her from 6 until 7 pretty much every single morning. She's sitting in the front on our little lounge area or outside with her little worn-out pink Bible with a notebook and a pen, and she is finding God's face every day. And then she'll come and tell me. So I don't do it straight away. I've got to feel my way into the... So often she's had an hour of God telling her, and she's coming to testify, and I'm just trying to go, huh? What day is it? But testify to each other, man. Testify to your kids. Tell them. Testify to the person who has zero expectation of you. Hey, can I tell you what Jesus has done? Can I pray for you? Is there some? Could we stop for one person this holiday? Just one. Let be the only gift that you have. Be the message of Jesus Christ. Let it be. Testify. So, I'm going to stop there. The recording can come to an end. So, I want to just recap for us quickly. R is for? Reflect. We're going to look back, Shakira, at all of the beautiful things that the Lord has done in your life this year. It has been so awesome to have you with us. As I reflect on this year, you will be one of the things that I thank the Lord for. I remember the first day you came here. The day you came was probably one of our toughest meetings we had the whole year. Do you guys remember that meeting? We were like, what is going on? And here you are, kindness of the Lord. I reflect on those of you who's got baptized this year. There you are. I reflect on you. And I thank God for an old man dying and a new man coming out. I thank God for Simon. I thank God for Michelle and Donovan, for your marriage. Forever and ever and ever, you will be the first couple I ever married. God has a plan for you guys. He loves you guys. He's with you. I thank God for you. And there are many, many more that I'm going to reflect on this year. Think about it. Write it down. Meditate on it. I'm going to enter God's presence. That's my job. You can't come with me. But I'm going to go. I'm going to sanctify myself. You know what I have to? There's some wounds I'm carrying. There are wounds I know. I think I've dealt with most of them. So there's bandages on most of my body. But you know what? The bandages are on. And I'm free. I can look across this room and there's not a single person that I don't want to see next to me in heaven worshiping. I say that with 100% certainty. And some of you have stung me and I've stung some of you. So I would hope, please, as we end this year, may your first sanctification, if it's needed, be towards me. Release me. If I've hurt you, if I've disappointed you, if I've let you down, please have grace. And please understand, there's probably something you don't know. Can I just say that? There's probably something you don't know that's led to something. Release me. I want to go into 26 clean. Amen? Amen? Thank you so much. Ramona's noise. I didn't have a testimony. I'm going to testify. No one loves me. And finally, testify. Wherever you go, tell people about Jesus. Tell him about what he's done in your life. He's alive, right? He's active and living. He's not made of stone or wood. He is alive and he is in our lives.